The inhabitants of the earth are as grasshoppers, yea, as nothing. And yet you humbled yourself to behold the things in the earth. You are the great I am, the Almighty, the everlasting God, the Lord of hosts, the God of our lives, Adonai. We worship you, Father, the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We worship you, Lord Jesus, King of saints, risen King, conqueror of principalities and powers, conqueror of death and hell, the soon coming King. We worship you, sir. The Holy Spirit, sir. The resident member of the Godhead here on earth. The Lord is that Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We worship you, Triune Deity, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, precious Holy Spirit. We bless, worship, and adore you in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for the privilege to enter into your word. Pastor Lalo and I will be entering the word under the covering of the apostolic and prophetic anointings of our fathers, and under the lordship, under the covering of the apostolic and prophetic fathers of the church age, under the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Triune Deity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We pray, grant us mercy to minister your word with power, with accuracy, with simplicity, and with the love and comfort of the Holy Spirit. Let a clear channel be created and maintained in the heavenlies, we pray, so that more than enough of the life and power of God will flow, so that the word will have a free course and the word will be glorified. The word will be backed with power to break yokes, to heal bodies, meet needs, dissolve doubts, solve riddles, bring glory to the name of Jesus, and blessings to the sons of men. Father, we are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy against the effectual delivery and receiving of the word. And so, under the covering of our fathers and under the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, in unity with my brethren, we come against every foul spirit of distraction, intimidation, offense, unbelief, mind wandering, spirit of weariness, weaknesses, and such like, including human spirits in alliance with the devil. All you such contrary foul spirits, we cast you out. We destroy your works, resist and bind you and break your yoke over our hearts, bodies, and circumstances in Jesus' name. We lose the angels of God, the seven spirits of God, to go fulfill the air, enforce and execute God's perfect will concern our prayers and concern this time of ministration in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you because you answer our prayers. You do more than what we ask, more than what we think, according to your power that is at work within us. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. For your name is holy.
For your name is holy. For your name is holy. Father, holy. Holy Lord.
Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a super hand clap. Hallelujah. Our Lord is here. Our Lord is good. And his mercy is enduring. Please be seated. You are welcome to Zion City Fellowship, campus outreach arm of Scripture Pastor Christian Center, pastored by Pastor Luby Johnson and Mommy Sarah Johnson. Let's honor our parents. We thank God for their laid down life of sacrifice, and the example they've set before us and the covering that they are to us. We bless God for them. Glory be to God forevermore in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, I have a short word. Amen. They say Paul wrote a long epistle and said, suffer this short word of exhortation. But plan for it to be a short word. Let's see how the Lord helps us. Amen. It's titled The Help of God. It's titled what? The Help of God. We spoke a little about this during the course of the message the last time. That when we have all our testimonies of what we have done, what we have achieved, what we have accomplished, the greatest testimony to be said is that God helped us. Praise the Lord. Amen. And as believers, it's important for it to be a working revelation. that we are people who depend upon the help of God. Amen. And then in the days of our victory, we can always testify, not religiously, but out of revelation and appreciation that God has helped us. Praise the Lord. That God has helped us. Because really, at the end of the day, it's God that helps us. Amen. And we need to appreciate it as such and acknowledge it. We'll look at this story from 2 Samuel chapter 6 and 1 Corinthians chapter 1 Chronicles chapter 15. The Ark of Israel has been away from Israel. The Ark has been away. The Ark was with the Philistines. And David said he wanted to bring the Ark to Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Isn't that a glorious thing? It is. Wanted to bring the Ark. And some of us Bible students will know the story that in trying to bring the Ark back, they got to the threshing floor of Onan, and the Ark started to shake, carried by Uzzah and Ahio, isn't it? And then when they got to the threshing floor of Onan, the Ark started to shake, and Uzzah said, "Ah, he's shaking, let me stabilize it." Put his hand, and God struck him, and Uzzah died. Praise the Lord. And David became afraid. And David feared the Lord. And said, I will not have the Ark of God come towards me. And then they said they dropped the Ark in the house of Obed-Edom. Praise the Lord. David was afraid of the Lord. He said the Ark would not come. Amen. So, with that background, we'll read the stories from 2 Samuel 6 and 1 Chronicles 15. 2 Samuel 6, verse 12 to 14. So now, they are going the second time to go and bring it. And they acknowledge that there was a breach the first time. So this second time, they try to take care of the breach. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, we're expecting God's glory. It's my prayer that when the glory comes, it won't find a breach. Praise the Lord. Because that was the expectation. Like we're expecting the glory. That's how the expectation was when the ark to come to Jerusalem. But when he came, there was a breach. And someone lost his life because of that. So this second time, they prepared better. Praise the Lord. So let's read the account of 2 Samuel, and we'll read the account of 1 Chronicles. And it was told King David. Let's read it. And it was told King David, saying, the Lord had blessed the house of Obed-Edom. That's where they dropped the ark. And all that pertained unto him, because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with what? With what? With what? Gladness. Okay, 2:40. And it was so. And it was so that when they brought the ark of the Lord, when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They will sacrifice. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Can you imagine how many animals they sacrificed? You'll be amazed how many. But we'll read the two versions. So every 6 paces. 6 is the man was made on which day? The 6th day. So 6 is God's number for man. So it's like every time you recognize your human inadequacy, human flaws, you plead the blood of Jesus. Praise the Lord. That's the lesson we learn from here. Every 6 paces, they sacrificed. So anytime you walk during the day, you are just conscious of yourself as a human, you plead the blood. It doesn't matter whether you've done something wrong or not. But once you are just conscious of your humanity and you need divinity, you plead the blood. Praise the Lord. That's what's happening here. Verse 14. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was guarded with the linen ephod. The linen ephod, so the first time, the linen ephod was not there. The first time, the sacrifices were not there. What was there the first time was that they were dancing. In this second time, they also brought it with gladness and with dancing. But every six paces, they sacrificed. And David this time wore the linen ephod, which represents the righteousness of God. Praise the Lord. So there was the linen ephod, okay? There was righteousness, and there was the blood of Jesus. Praise the Lord. So that's the account of 2 Samuel. But it's good to learn those lessons. What were the things they corrected between the first time and the second time? Okay? So this time, every six places, they did the sacrifice, and David wore the linen ephod. Like the first time also, they danced with all their heart. Amen. So it's easy to say that the first dance was a dance in the flesh. But this second dance was in the spirit. Praise the Lord. Because this one had the blood and the linen ephod. 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 25 to the first line in 27. 2 Chronicles chapter, okay, from verse 25, okay. So David and the elders of Israel and the captains over thousands went to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the house of Obed-Edom with joy. And it came to pass when God helped the Levite. Did you see that one in 2 Samuel? That God helped. Praise the Lord. Very simple but powerful implication. And it came to pass when God helped the Levites that bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord, that they offered 7 bullocks and 7 rams. Praise the Lord. The other one just said, after 6 paces, they sacrificed. But this one helped us, tells us more that it was not just they were walking, but God helped them. Amen. And they sacrificed 7 bullocks and 7 rams. Only God knows, maybe it's after 6 paces, every 6, that they sacrificed 7 bullocks and 7 rams. Only God knows. Verse 27. And David was clothed with a robe of linen ephod. So let's just stop there. And a question that, no, when it came out last week was that all that activity, David with the linen ephod, every 6 paces they sacrificed, the Levites bore the ark. Praise the Lord. Then they all danced with joy. If all that happened and we removed and the Lord helped the Levites away from the equation, what will happen? Nothing. We'll achieve nothing. But a very simple statement. And it came to pass that when God helped the Levites that bore the ark. Many times we look at the Levites that bear the ark, which is good. But what brings it to pass is God that is helping those Levites bearing the ark. Praise the Lord. So we stand under covering. We say, and under the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Because we are, it's good to look to those Levites. Because Bible actually says that the Levites should stay in front. There should be distance between the Levites so you can see them. So it's the Levites that we direct. But 1 Chronicles gives us that. But it came to pass when God helped those Levites that bore the ark. Amen. So the testimony at the end of the day is that God helped the Levites. Amen. Thank God for the linen ephod, which is good. Thank God for the blood, the sacrifice, which is good. But at the end of the day, we are happy that God helped the Levites. Amen. May it come to pass in our life that God will help us. Praise the Lord that God will help us. I was planning to say this scripture towards the end, but I'll say it now because it just came to my heart. Bible says, it's not of him that willeth. It's not of him that runneth. But it's of God that showeth mercy. Bible tells us, Paul says, I will pray in the spirit. And I will pray in the understanding also. Praise the Lord. So, it's not that Paul says, don't will. The same Paul, we are quoting the same Paul that says, it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. But Paul says, I will pray in the spirit. And I will pray in the understanding. Amen. It's not even that will, it's not that runner. Paul says, run that you might obtain. Praise the Lord. So Paul willed. Paul ran. But the same Paul now recognized that when you have the victory at the end of the day, it's the mercy of God. Praise the Lord. None of him that willed. Paul recognized some people willed, even probably more than him. But there was no result to show at the end of the day. No mercy. Mercy was not found. So the willing and the running did not reach anything. Praise the Lord. So we will will. We will run. But we are fully conscious, praise the Lord, that it is of God that showeth mercy. Amen. God gave me a picture when I was preparing. Mercy of God is your foundation. Willing and running is your building. Mercy of God is the roof. It's what you started with. It was with you as you were running, and that's why we crown the effort. The mercy of God is the foundation. Your willing and running with God's mercy is the body, and it's the mercy of God that is the roof. So when we now put all that together, then we can conclude that scripture is not of him that will it. It's not of him that run it, but God that showed mercy. Praise the Lord. Because we saw that the foundation was in mercy. The total victory was in mercy. And even the willing and running was done in mercy. Praise the Lord. The help of God. Psalm 65 verse 4. Psalm 65 verse 4. Many years ago, when God showed me this scripture, I screamed. I think I was in my early 20s. So that was many years ago. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Praise the Lord. God is one that chose him. Amen. You know, sometimes we want to do competition to earn God's approval. And it's good. It's good. I mean, you want to show God that you are loyal, you are there. But this is a higher level. Blessed is the man. God chose him. David. I didn't put that scripture down, but I think it's Psalm 78. It talks about David from running after sheep and you pregnant. God chose him to be a leader over his people Israel. It's good to see it because it just rhymes with this. 78, 70, there's okay, go to 69. And he built his sanctuary like high places, like the okay, verse 70. He's talking about. He chose David. He chose David also, his servant, and took him. We are still there. Verse 70. He chose David, also his servant, and took him from the sheepfold. 71. From following the ewes are female sheep. The ewes, great with young, pregnant. He brought him to feed Jacob, his people, and Israel. God, he chose him. So go back to Psalm 75. Blessed is that man whom thou choosest and cause to approach. You know, we try, blood of Jesus, and go, let's approach God's presence. God called this man to approach him. Is that okay? Oh, yeah, well, yeah, come, holiest of all. Just be coming. Just be coming. Just become. I don't know what you can pay for that. I don't know what you can label for this. But that's why I use the word blessed. Is that man. God chose him. Amen. God chose him. And not just chose. He now caused him to approach into his courts. Praise the Lord. So today, if there's anything we'll take home is, how do we have a heart? A heart that attracts God's attention. Amen. Many times we want to do activities to attract God. And like I say, it's good. But that God looks with an X-ray eyes. There's a kind of heart that when he sees it, yeah, come. Praise the Lord. And we can exercise ourselves to that kind of heart. Blessed is that man. God chose him and caused to approach. It's the mercy of God. Praise the Lord. You know, the Yoruba will say, well, I'm not a very good Yoruba student, so let me stay with the English to be safe. But the expression is that, what did we really do to deserve all these things that God has done? Praise the Lord. That's a recognition of mercy. Praise the Lord. It's a recognition of mercy. Anoluwa. Anolariba. That the conclusion at the end of the day is that we got mercy. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, how do we prepare our hearts to be people that can obtain God's mercy? Amen. People that can obtain the help of God. Amen. How do we prepare our hearts to be people that can obtain mercy? One thing God has said about spiritual things, our relationship with him, is that it's by faith. It's by what? It's by faith. The just shall live. It has to be by faith. Amen. Psalm 33. Psalm 33, verse 8. Psalm 147, verse 11. We need to drop this, our personal ability, our personal... It won't take us far. This is the secret to go far. Praise the Lord. Somebody... Okay, let's read it. This one will read it. Psalm 33... No, 18. 18, sorry. Behold! Amakaileo. Behold! The eye of the Lord. Remember that eye of the Lord, they say it goes where? To and fro throughout the earth. Okay? The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him. Upon them that hope in his mercy. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. This person has faith in the mercy of God. Praise the Lord. It's hope. Them that their hope is in God's mercy. Amen. Thank God. God will do it. It's not religion. There's a hope in God's mercy. Don't worry. God will show up. There's a hope in God's mercy. Amen. 147 verse 17. The Lord taketh pleasure. Taketh pleasure in them that fear him. In those that hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord. God takes pleasure in those who fear him. So when your tract is telling you in the morning, I choose to fear God, do it by faith. Praise the Lord. That you are setting in motion a lifestyle that will attract mercy. I choose to fear God. So I humble myself by submitting to the will of God. You are becoming a candidate for mercy. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's the mercy of God. So that heart must be prepared to receive mercy. One of the extremes of human nature is that it wants to it's either he's doing something that is wrong and he regrets, or he does something well and says he's the one that did it and he's the one that will take the glory. It's an extreme of human nature. He wants to be accountable to say, I'm the one that did it wrong, or I'm the one that did it right. So it's either I don't do it at all, okay, fine, I didn't do it at all, or emimoshe, if not for me. That is a heart that is not hoping in mercy. Praise the Lord. And it won't go far. We need to cultivate the help of God. Recognize his help. and yield and obey in his help. Let me repeat that. We need to cultivate God's help. That's that, having hope in his mercy. You need to cultivate God's help. Ah, Holy Spirit. Oh, Father, mercy. You are somebody, there is a cultivation. You are wooing the help of God. Then you must recognize it when it comes. Praise the Lord. That takes sensitivity to the Holy Spirit and working with the Spirit. Once God's help shows up, you will know that, I know today. Praise the Lord. It happens a lot of times in prayers. You come in flat, dead, and tired. Amen. Flat, dead, and tired. Maybe you have to lead praise worship. You come, you are tired. You just sit and say, God. God, have mercy on me. God, have mercy. God, if you leave me alone, I can't do nothing. And you take that microphone, you start tired. And by the second stanza like this, you just feel the breeze, the release of the Spirit. You recognize that help has come. Praise the Lord. Brethren, that has to be the testimony of our lives. You cultivate the help. You recognize the help. And then you obey in the midst of the help. So when that release comes, then you sing with all your heart. Praise the Lord. Sometimes in intercession, you start the prayer. Oluwa shanumi. You are drawing the life and power scripture, you are yawning. You are drawing the life as well, you are yawning. You get to the prayer in the spirit, Rababasha, mercy. Then suddenly, you just notice there's a change in the heavens. The power just comes. Use it well. Then pray. You show that you saw help. Praise the Lord. You recognize it. And you obey in the midst of the help. Amen. Let me tell you something. Pastor gave us this pseudo equation many years ago. What you need for total victory is 100. Let's say 100 horsepower. The engineers, 100 watts. Okay? So, you need a power factor of 100. Then, she is 100 and she be mini. You now start those your gra-gra. When you finish and sweated, they will now tell you, okay, can I see how much did I generate? They will just tell you 1.6. When it comes to spiritual things, after you don't know your gra-gra, you can't even make 1.6, I assure you. Okay. Now, let's depend on God's help. Because if we go with our own power, based on that power that we know God gave us naturally, we went by it, we didn't even reach one. And they say it's 100. We now say, God, please help. And then God now helps you. And then after you did it very well, you did better. You too, you know that this is beyond you. By the time you say, what's the inventory? They'll now tell you 4.0. So when you did it by yourself with the natural ability God gave you, you didn't reach one. When you did it with all the help that God gave you, you got to 4. Then that 4, you lay it down as a seed. And then God now multiplies it to 100. Praise the Lord. That's how it works in the spirit realm. You go with your natural power that God gave you, you won't achieve much. You go with the one God helps you, you will achieve. But if you leave it alone like that, it will still be enough. Then that one that God helped you, now sow it as a seed. You sow it as a seed. That God, you helped me, but I still lay it down. David's mighty man. David said, I thirst for the waters of Bethlehem. And the Philistines were guarding Bethlehem. When two of David's servants heard that the king was longing for the water of Bethlehem, two of them, they broke through a host of army. Two people. And Jerusalem, Bethlehem was guarded by the garrison of the Philistines. They fought through. One of them drew the water. The other one was still fighting. And they came out back and they gave the water to David. David said, far be it for me to drink this kind of water. I give it as an offering to God. You can imagine why God says David is a man after my own heart. that those people went, God helped them. And when David got the product of God's help, he laid down as an offering. And that's why David was victorious in all his battles. Praise the Lord. All this is summarized with a humble spirit. A meek spirit. It's something we need to do. You will cultivate it. Oh, God help me. God help me. Samson forgot about God's help and stayed with that ability that God gave him. And the ability was, it was working for a while. Praise the Lord. It was working for a while. I didn't want to get there, but let me just put it by the means of a warish woman. Proverbs says, a man is brought down to a piece of bread. A whole Samson that fights armies, that carries the gate of a city, not gate of a house, the gate of a city, Samson lifted it. Nobody could beat Samson, but by the means of a warish woman, a man, Samson, is brought down to a piece of bread. A piece of bread is something you can just dissect and eat, just cut into pieces and eat. Praise the Lord. Remember, young men, I gave you an exhortation by God saying, you better control yourself. So that you won't be rich, super rich, be successful. Be the CEO of a private TV organization. I want 21-year-old. We'll reduce you to a piece of bread and collect your money both in life and in death. That's the world we live in now. You don't control yourself, you kill yourself. Let me repeat that. The young boys need to hear that. You don't control yourself, you kill yourself. Samson kept going by that natural power. He never succumbed to God. The only time Samson now knew that it is the help of God, by that time his two eyes were out. He now said, God, I don't deserve all the mercies that you have shown to me. For the sake of this, my eyes, help me to avenge. He now, if he had had that, even in the midst of his power, he would have been completely invincible. Amen. What I'm trying to say is that many times when you are very strong, be careful. That's when you are very vulnerable. That's when you are not seeking God's help. You are self-confident. You won't pray. Shebe mini. Do I? Like one guy told me in those days in campus, me. Do I need to pray for a sister? Me. I'm telling you, real life, me. To pray for a sister. He will catch Delilah. You need God's help. Praise the Lord. That's some of the pride. And probably what? He speaks in tongues. God answers his prayers. He's a brother. It's a brother. Speaks in tongues. God answers his prayers. He has revelation knowledge. He's doing some business. Money is coming in. So, sister, amen. Pray. Me. Pray. And I say, sometimes when you are strong, that's when you are very vulnerable. Because you lose, you are no longer the person that will choose the fear of God. You are no longer the person that will hope in God's mercies. Praise the Lord. And that's why it's good to be seeking that in every day. I choose to fear God. God have mercy. Before we start prayers, Father, we beseech you for mercy. Lord Jesus, we beseech you for grace. Holy Spirit, we beseech you for love and help. Let that dependency be ringing in your spirit that you need God. Amen. Say, God takes pleasure in those who hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. So, two scriptures and Pastor Lalu comes. Luke 18:22-25. I'll read it fast. Luke 18, not Luke 1. Okay, I think we need to go back. Go back to scripture, two verses. I'll read fast. Oh, again, one more. Next. Okay, I'll read fast. So to 25. And a certain ruler asked him, that's asked Jesus, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother." And he said, "All these have I kept from my youth up." He wasn't lying. See, there are times you do, I say, you are doing something, they taught you to, the things they've taught you to do, you are doing it as best as you can. Don't depend on that. It's good. It's a good start. What is needed now is the mercy of God to come upon it. Praise the Lord. All what you've done is not good enough. Because when God shows up, the whole essence of wake up in the morning, pray, read your Bible, is not, that's not the end. You know when they say something is not the end, it's the means to the end. You wake up in the morning, you pray, you read your Bible, you confess. Sometimes we have the feeling that, well, that's what is expected of me, I've done it. No, you did all that so that when God shows up, you recognize him. Praise the Lord. All that was done to prepare your hearts to receive God. Amen. So always be conscious that at the end of the day, all those activities is not for you to just mark them that I've done it and that's all. No, that's not Christianity. All those activities you did, fasting, reading the Bible, is so that your heart is prepared so that the day God shows up, you recognize God. A man of God says, why do we, what's the whole essence of trying to live right and yet we miss God? I'm trying to like pray, I bind the devil and go. And then when God just shows up and say, Philip, move away from here and go on towards that chariot. You know, Philip and the utopian, you know, move on. And then Philip doesn't obey that. The whole lesson, so and Philip woke up early in the morning, he prayed, he did the binding of the devil, he read the word of God. All that prepared him so that when God shows up, he can obey. Amen. When Paul came into Damascus and the light smote him, he said, Ananias was praying. And God now said, Ananias, he said, "Here, my Lord, there's a man called Paul. He is blind. Wait, he has seen you in a vision that you're coming to lay hands. Go and pray for him." He said, "Ah, God, that wicked man, did I say, he's the chosen first. Go." And Ananias went. That is the whole essence of all the prayer and everything. So that we are vessels that God can use. Praise the Lord. So he now said, "I have read the Bible. I have done this. I've done that." Okay, God now showed up. The whole essence of what you've done from your youth. Amen. I didn't see that. I just saw that now. Go back. Verse 21. Go back. God is talking now. And he said, "All this I have kept for my days in Zion City." Amen. I just saw that now. "All this I have kept for my youth up." It's preparing you for a glorious future. It's good to do it, but it's not that because you've done it, that's all. No, you did it to prepare you for a glorious future. Amen. And that's what happened in verse 22. God now showed up. You have done everything they told you to do. God now said, and when Jesus had these things, and I think in the Mark version, he said, and when Jesus had this, Jesus loved him. Okay? That's the Mark version. Adam, Mark, or Matthew. And when Jesus had this thing, he said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing." I didn't commit fornication. I did not commit adultery. I honored my father and my mother. I gave to... He said everything. He said, "Now you lack one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." Okay? So, yes. He's a man of prayer. He's kept the commandments. So now God now showed up and said, "Okay, you have done all that. Well, this is just, you've done it for me. Okay, me that you are doing it for is just one thing I need left from you." Okay? Next verse. And when he had this, he was very sorrowful. In short, I think Matthew says, he went away sad. But he was praying. He was binding the devil. He didn't commit fornication. He didn't commit adultery. He read the Bible. But when God showed up, amen, it's not of him that willeth. It's not of him that runneth. It's of God that showeth mercy. Always be mercy conscious. So that in the day of your visitation, you will not miss God. Praise the Lord. And none of us will miss God in Jesus' name. It was sorrow, very sorrowful. He was very rich. Oh yeah, let me quickly round it up. It's a long story. Two more verses. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, He said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? 25. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter. Okay, fine. So, what are we saying here? The man went confident. God didn't call him. He went to Jesus. Say, what must I do to inherit the kingdom? He felt he had done everything. So he just came with a pseudo question. What must I do to enter into the kingdom? I woke up in the morning, I bound the devil, I prayed, I read the Bible, I did the confession. And what is left? Amen. He has, which is good. You see, that's why I say one version, and Jesus loved him. But Jesus is not trying to say, okay, there's a messy door. Are you ready to pass through it? Because you have willed, you've run. But the one that really gives the dividend, the conge, is the one that God shows mercy. Yeah, take this assignment. And last, I say, you must recognize, when you cultivate mercy, you must recognize it. God's help when it shows up. Praise the Lord. This man did not recognize it. And God, Jesus gave him a blanket check to join the disciples. A rich man. And like Pastor shared with us many years ago, great revelation, 20, 30 years ago, he said, a rich man, God said, leave everything, follow me. Soon after, Judas betrays, who was the treasurer, and left. He will have been an immediate replacement for Judas. He lost that. He didn't know. To him, what he saw was the riches he would give away. But Jesus saw a replacement of the 12th apostle. He didn't get it. Rich man, manage riches well. But when God opened the door and said, go sell everything and go, he didn't have faith in God's mercy. All his faith had been in his ability to make wealth. So I should not throw that away. He didn't see the mercy of God behind. Amen. So when God gave him a blank check, sell everything and follow me, he couldn't do it. Because the fear of God was not strong. He didn't have faith in God's mercy. Whereas he would have been 12th disciple. And what they say about those disciples, that in the new Jerusalem in heaven, all the foundations were the names of the 12 disciples. He lost that because of his riches that he couldn't give away. Eternal blessings was what was given to him. Blank check. But he went away sorrowful because he had many riches. The riches he knew he worked for, he knew how to work for it. He stayed at that level. He was not ready for the mercy level. Amen. So they left him what he could will and what he could run, his own riches. While they called him to come and take the one that God showed mercy. Praise the Lord. So that's the sober part of it. When God shows up and says, we are praying, we are talking to God, a time comes, God will talk to you. Amen. And when God talks to you, you will hear. Amen. There are many times we want to hear God. We may not hear. But when God talks to you, he wants to talk, you will hear. You will hear. Take that road. Praise the Lord. It's good to seek God. You want him to talk. And many times, sometimes when you are seeking to talk to you, he will talk to you. But there are times he will come in mercy. Say, blessed that man that God chooseth and cause to approach to him. That's mercy. Be ready when God shows up. Praise the Lord. Be ready when God shows up. Get ready for me. 1 John 4:10. Let me say a short story. Never planned it, but came to my mind now. In youth service, I was in Maiduguri, my beloved city. May God forgive Boko Haram. My beloved city. Oh. So this was 30 years ago. In camp. Yeah, it'll be 30 years next year. 92 November. I got to camp. Cold. Very cold. So one day I went to the Mami Market. Like Black Market. For those of you who are in your opposite, you have talk shops, Mami Market, that's what we call it. So I went to buy a malt. So I sat down and quietly drank my malt. So I stood up when I finished my malt and went to pay. And the woman said, don't bother, it's been paid for. I sat down quietly, drinking my malt. I've not paid. Says me, I said, by who? He now pointed. And at one extreme corner, one lady sat there. I didn't even recognize when she came in. So I was kind of stunned. I didn't know whether, what do I say? Why did she pay? Well, I just turned and said, thanks, and walked out. Few weeks, we meet on the parade ground. She asked me, you didn't even ask me why I paid for your malt. I said, well, I was surprised. Well, not a stranger, but it's not somebody I know very well. Camp were like 400 in those days. In camp, I had been to a military secondary school. I went to a military secondary school. So when we got to camp, and the soldiers were teaching us to march, they saw that every new command they were giving, I did it immediately. And those soldiers like it when they are teaching a graduate something and they teach him 5-6 times, he doesn't know it. It makes them have a sense of importance. So one day, Sergeant Ali said, come here. Who are you? So I smiled. I said, I went to command. I said, at the talk, saying, I saw you brilliant, Rich. So the lady was saying, on the parade ground, you are always getting this, getting that, getting this. So I just said, well, let me try to know her better. She's trying to be a friend. But God says, don't get away from that girl. That's God showing up. I mean, I had many friends on camp, but this one, I said, I know it's harmless. I'll just say, don't near that girl. After about two or three warnings, I just kind of dropped it. The day we finished camp, as I picked up my call-up letter, my posting letter, so I was leaving the camp, I saw her. I said, Emmanuel, where they posted? She said, they posted me to Biu. I'll be the copper liaison officer in Biu. Biu is like 2.5 hours away by road from Maiduguri. So I said, okay, fine. I'm in Christian Coppers, but I have a vet clinic. I'll be working. And everybody said their bye-byes. I become president Christian Coppers for Borno State. I go on a visit to Biu. And they report Emanuela to me that Emanuela has slept with every man in Biu. Practically, all the soldiers, every... But I was just in camp and God just showed us, say, don't get near, don't even near that girl. That's mercy. Praise the Lord. You can bind the devil, do everything. If you don't obey that instruction, don't near that girl. You get yourself into trouble. And that's because 1 John 4:10, hearing is love. Hearing is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. That's it. Because I can wake up in the morning, which I used to do in camp, pray, bind the devil. Every temptation, I bind you and go. God now shows up. Don't near that girl. You feel, it's harmless. God loves you. Just obey what he has told you. Just obey what he said. This $1 million contract. Don't near that contract. Don't join them. God. You better obey what God has told you. That's God showing up. Amen. You are somebody who has hope, faith in his mercy. All our prayer is good. Will is good. But it's of God that shows mercy. Sometimes God shows up because he loves us. Praise the Lord. And tells us, don't take that road. Don't take that road. So those are the different ways mercies come. Amen. Just to make sure we are preserved. Amen. Just to make sure we excel. To make sure that we are faithful. Amen. We need mercy for all those things. But let's, as we pray, use the blood of Jesus, read the word of God, and go, God is priming our hearts. One day, and many days, God shows up. And like I said, when he shows up, you will know he has showed up. You are just the one struggling and arguing with him. I couldn't say I didn't hear, don't near that girl. I said, Sam, she's just a friend. She was trying to be nice. Don't near that girl. Amen. That's always the problem with, and that's why I'm ending, problem with all these cocky super spiritual brothers. I want Jim. So God can't talk to them again. Don't near that girl say, a woman for me. He can't. I will bind the devil. She will bind you. She will bind you. Your faith should not be in what you can bind. God says, don't near. Just have faith in that one. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. They told us, resist the devil. And he'll do what? Resist the devil. One guy shared that many years. He said, God says you should resist. That even if Satan comes in, he comes, resist him. He said, but when fornication comes in, you should flee. But if Satan comes, Satan himself, he said, resist him. But if fornication enters, he tells you, take off. So it's a nice analogy. Someone just saying. So he said, brothers, obey both scriptures. So when fornication comes, take off. When you are now 2 kilometers, you will turn back and bind the devil. So you see, you bind the devil, you resisted him. But when it's fornication, first run. When you have safely away, turn back and say, I bind you in Jesus. Hey, that's when it will bind. Let's give the Lord a super hand clap. Pastor Lalu, come and share with us.
The Lord. When the devil appears, bind the devil. But when fornication appears, flee. And then you can bind him when you're far from him. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. But seriously, from what Prof has introduced to us today, it's very, very important for us to know that we need help, you know, especially in these times that we are as young people. The kind of temptations that we are facing and the rage of the devil, you know, at this time proves it, that we all need help, you know, personally and corporately, you know. So what I just want to share with us from that scripture, give me that scripture that Prof started with. It's a great emphasis. 1 Chronicles 15:26. And there's an important lesson I want to, by his grace and mercy, you know, under the covenant of the fathers, you know, to share with us and just to encourage us. You know, I'm really encouraged with this topic, you know, because I'm getting to see, and you yourself need to see it early, that you need help. You know, even in places where you're strong, is when you are strong that you are most vulnerable. You know, and because the Bible says it explicitly, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty eyes before a what? Fall. You know, if you watch football a lot, you know that there's every tendency to relax when you're leading, you know, but that's when you need the most assist, you know, be it in the attack, midfield, or even in the defense. So 1 Corinthians 15:26, it's a beautiful story of David having a good intention, a wonderful intention of bringing the ark back to Jerusalem and to Zion so that the presence of the Lord can be with them, you know, there. However, in the midst of that good intention, God struck, you know, because they did not do it well. And he gave them another chance. And that's one lesson I want us to pick. You might have been in a relationship with God. You know, you might have been trying some things spiritually, academically, you know, but you might have had challenges. You know, God is a God of a second chance. And you know, this second chance, when they did it, God helped them. You know, the first chance, the first time they did not acknowledge God or call God, in as much as what they were doing was some God thing or a God purpose, a God intention. It was God intent, you know, but around it, God had to let them learn that lesson early. And that's why sometimes we fall. The Bible says a righteous man falls 7 times, and what happens? He rises again. And the funny thing about this story is that while they were trying, don't try and help God. Let it be God that will help you. Okay? Many of us, we always try to help God. The ark was shaking, and that guy wanted to help, to steady the ark. Incidentally, the guy's name means strength. God doesn't need your strength. God doesn't need your help. You need his help. And you see, the earlier we recognize that we need his help at the beginning of something, the better it will be for us. Assuming they had asked for God's help at the beginning, God would have said, no, don't do it like this. This is the way you would do it. But in the mid, they had gone too far. And then when that thing struck in the middle of the journey, when the cart shook and the ark was about to fall, because you might be asking yourself, but they didn't know now. They didn't know because they didn't ask at the beginning. And so they had already started the journey. They had already set the ball rolling. And so in the middle of it, because they had already initiated the program was already running. I'm a computer scientist. The program was already running, but because they did not do the necessary things they needed to do, the necessary checks and balances at the beginning, it was apparently too late for them. So it was in the middle of it that they hit the glitch. It was in the middle of it that they had the bug. It was in the middle of it they had the attack. And then it was too late for them. Are we together? But it wasn't an end for them. So in the middle of it, this man comes, the thing shakes, and then he tries to steady the ark with his hand, which would never happen. They never hold the ark with their hands. Those guys always carry it with poles. Do you understand? You have four people. So since the beginning of time, when the thing was made, during the time of Moses, those laws had been put there. But you see, they didn't read. It's like a person that doesn't read his Bible, and then he's trying to do something for God his own way. It won't work. Do you understand? In fact, it might cost the person in as much as he thinks that he's doing something for God. Are you listening to me? This is applying in different ways. That's why I'm just dropping it like that. But now the good thing is this. You see, so when that happens, David was hurt. David was angry. He was bitter. Not against God, but I mean that somebody lost his life. And all we're trying to do is to bring back the presence of God or the ark of God to Jerusalem. What did we do wrong? Anyway, to cut the long story short, the ark rested in Obed-Edom's house. Obed-Edom is probably not a full Jew, or not a Jew at all, you know. But while the ark was in Obed-Edom's house for 6 months, David heard that the Lord had blessed Obed-Edom. So where the presence of the Lord is, there is guarantee that there will be blessings. So never seek blessings, seek the presence of God. And so when David heard that, this time, they decided that, look, we must go back to get that ark and bring it to Jerusalem so that the entire community and the entire nation can be blessed. But right now, like Prof was saying, they did it the right way. And 1 Corinthians 15:26 comes to play where it says, and it came to pass when God helped the Levites. The Levites were the young people, so it applies to us. You know, the age group of the Levites, 20s to 30s, you know, to 50s. So they bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord that they offered 7 bullocks and 7 rams. So, but at the beginning, the commencement at the beginning is that the Lord helped the Levites. The Levites are Jews, you can say Christians. The Levites are holy, you can say holy Christian saints, you know, you and me, young people. But you can see from the beginning, God helped them. So the earlier that we cry out and we lift up our voice to God for help, the better it is for us. So it will not be in the middle, by his mercy and grace, it will not be in the middle that you now start having challenges. Not that God cannot help you, but you know there are some things that you'll have to start again from the beginning. Do you understand? It's not magic. You have to go through the principle and the lesson. So are you yourself, you'll be able to tell another person and teach another person those same principle and lesson. God is a God of discipline. His love, but in love is also discipline. Are we together? Now, we'll go straight to the New Testament just to help us. You know. So give me John 14:16 in Amplified. And I must say this again. You see, there's the tendency, that thing is pride. We like a place where you don't need anybody's help. There's nobody on this planet that has not received help. Whether it's the richest man in the world or this or that. Help. There's nothing like self-made men. There's nothing like that. Don't let them lie to you. You know, there's nothing like self-made men. It's God that helps people. I know Satan helps some people, but we're talking about the people that God helps. It is God that helps people, and it is better that we start leaning on his help. Now, not that you will not use your mind, you will not use your brain. We're not saying that. But even God needs to help your brain and help you use your mind. Are we together? So it's not that we're not preaching laziness. However, we're saying that even with the things, the giftings that God has given us, it is better for us to quickly cry out to God for help, to help us to use those things to his glory. Are we together? You need to flow with me. And so, don't worry, the rain will stop. God will help. All right, so don't get distracted. John 14:16 in the Amplified Bible. And so this is one thing I wanted to tell you. When people say that they need help, everybody feels that the person that needs help is the weakling. The person that doesn't need help is the strong person. That is a lie. It's direct opposite in the kingdom of God. The strong person will always ask for help. Are we together? The humble person, the great person, the greatest in the kingdom is the servant, is the humble one, is one that cries for help. So you can also say that the strongest in the kingdom is the one that cries for help. Do we understand? Now look at this. And also before I read this, you know, when you say you have a helper, there's every tendency for your mind to reduce a help. If you say you have a help in your house, there's every tendency in your mind to reduce a help to a weakling, just somebody that is, you are the strong person, you are the boss, and he's supposed to assist you. That's the wrong mindset when you're talking about God as a helper. So in the Old Testament, the Father manifests himself in many ways, but he really manifests himself as a covenant-keeping God. The Lord Jesus manifests himself as a Son, as a Savior and a Redeemer, and God the Holy Spirit manifests himself as the helper. And the reason why they do this is because they are humble. There are humble characteristics that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have taken and are showing us that we ourselves can learn to be humble. Do we understand? All right, so don't feel that first and foremost, a helper is a weakling. The Holy Spirit, as we get to read, is our helper. And the earlier we get into fellowship and intimacy and get to know him, the better it will be for us, because the Holy Spirit is as strong as the Father and as the Son. And because it's called a helper, does not make him any less strong as the Father and the Son. Are we together? It is just that the humble characteristic he's taken right now is as a what? As a what? Helper. Now, so we read, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another. I can't hear you guys. And he'll give you another, who is also called, and what's that second one? Helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may do what? He may remain with you forever. So the Holy Spirit is with you every second, every minute. Now, the mistake and the sin that we have sinned is that we have not recognized and acknowledged him, recognizing that he is with us because his Spirit. So our minds, our senses are more used to physical things. And we are not yet cultivating and developing, like Prof was talking about, cultivating and developing that kind of association and relationship with God, who is Spirit, and who is right by your side, right now, right here. Concern every situation, he's your standby. You know what standby means? You know if you have a remote control, standby. Once you press that button, it comes back on. Intercessor, counselor, standby, strengthener. So the Holy Spirit is our helper, and the Holy Spirit, I'm going to keep saying it, the Holy Spirit is as much God as the Father and the Son. He might be manifesting as comforter and helper. Those are no weak things. He's here to help you spiritually, to help you to pray in spiritual things, there to help you. Mentally, he's there to help you. In fact, you see some characteristics. Let's quickly see John verse 26 of this same John 14, verse 26. So, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, the Lord just said, I have to go and it's better for him to come. So, the resident God on earth right now is the Holy Spirit. Are we together? The Father did the Old Testament business. The Son did the salvation, redemption business. And the moment he left, he said, it's better for me to go because he can't be in a billion places at once. But the Holy Spirit, I'm going to pray the Father and he will give you another comforter, the Holy Spirit, and he's doing the same work that I will do. He's as much God as the Father and the what? Son. Now he says, but the comforter, counselor, what else? What are we saying there again? Helper. But the comforter, counselor, what? Helper. Intercessor, advocate, strengthener, standby, the what? Whom the Father will send in my name, in my place to represent me and act on my behalf. He will teach you what? So you see, he's helping you. He's there to help you spiritually, to teach you spiritual things, the word of God, primarily, that's number one. And then teach you all things, mentally, your academics, finances, teach you all things, spiritual, mental, physical, financial, do you understand? Social. And he will cause you to what? Recall. He will remind you of, bring to your remembrance everything I have told you, everything God has told you and written about you in the Bible. He will remind you of things even in the secular life. Do you understand? But first, you must even know what God has written of you in the Bible, in the Word. He does it by revelation. See, God has, the Bible is full of your life. They are scattered in different places. That's why you have to read it. And as you are praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, praying in travel, the Holy Spirit, and you are reading the Word, the Holy Spirit will start taking scriptures and stories from different parts of the Bible, and you start bringing it to your remembrance that that is you. That's about you. You'll be reading Daniel, and you say it's at least 10 times better than in space. He will say it is you. Do you understand? You might not find your name as Kayode or Shola or David or Ola, but in all those things, he has hidden your life in all those stories from the devil, so that as you are reading it and as you are praying in the Spirit, he starts to bring them to your remembrance, to your mind. Do you understand? Here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. You know, concerning your life, concerning your career, concerning the issue of marriage, he begins to bring them out. That's how he helps. He will help you about spiritual things. He will help you about mental things. He is a person. He's God. He knows all things. He made you. He built you. Do you understand? So he knows everything about you, and he's willing to assist you. If you play football, a helper is an assist. When it's time to score, you just carry the ball, dribble, dribble. That's where praying in tongues comes in. Dribble, 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 devil, sote. And then when it's time to score, he'll just throw it to you. You now score the goal. You now think to yourself, ah, it's me, it's in my power. Forgetting that it was the Holy Spirit. And he has done that in many times in his mercies, in his grace. And many times we just arrive at the end and we think it is our own power, our own might. No. Do you understand? It might be another person's prayers. It might be your pastor's prayers. It might be your grandma's prayers. It might be your parents' prayers. But it's now high time for you to now connect directly to your assist and to your helper to help you in every area. Now, give me chapter 16, verse 7. I want you to value the relationship with the Holy Spirit, who is the resident God on earth, and who is willing to help you, who is here as helper. When you hear that word helper, don't think he's a servant attitude, but he's the greatest, he's the creator, he's the maker. Because he used the word helper doesn't mean that he's a weakling. It doesn't mean that he doesn't know what he's doing. You know, because in our society, the word helper or the word help is like house girl, house boy. You seem like the boss, the employer. It's not like that in the Spirit. Do you understand? It's not like that about God. He's the helper because he's the one that knows everything. He's the helper because he's the one that is stronger than you. He's the helper because he's the one that created all things. That's why he's helping you. You're the one that needs help. Do you understand? Right. So, again, he says, however, I'm telling you nothing but the truth. When I say it is profitable, good, expedient, advantageous for you that I go away. Some people feel that it's better for, it would be better if Jesus was here on earth. It would be so good. No. You'll be in Jerusalem. You won't be able to take visa to go to Israel right now. Do you understand? But the point I'm trying to say is going to be one man. So he knew what he was saying, that I go away, because if I do not go away, the comforter, counselor, what again? Helper. He's here to help you. advocate, intercessor, strengthener, standby will not come to you into what? Close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in what? Close fellowship with you. You need to take advantage of this relationship with the third person of the Godhead. I read one book one time. It says the forgotten God. Whereas he's God. He's as much. In fact, God is right beside you. He's here. He's, yes, thank you, sister. He's right beside you. Say, the Lord is at my right hand. He's a shade at my right hand. He's here with you forever to bring into remembrance, to help you. Yes, you might not be experiencing it because we have not tapped into that fellowship and communion with him and intimacy with him. Some of us are doing things that are grieving him. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. He's right there, but you're not giving him attention, and he's a gentleman. He will not contest with your spirit. So we need to take advantage of the helper, the help of the Holy Spirit. Give me Romans 8:26 as we just begin to round off. I just want to encourage you. See, the Holy Spirit, of course, you have to be born again for you to be able to connect to the person of the Holy Spirit and then use the resources of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, who is as much God, as much powerful and wise as the Father, as powerful and wise as the Son, and of course, he is himself, is the third person of the Godhead. So in Romans 8:26, we see this about the Holy Spirit, a primary place the Holy Spirit is here to help you. The foundation, a foundation of one place the Holy Spirit cannot help you. The Holy Spirit will help you in spiritual things. He will help you in mental things. He will help you in financial things. He will help you in physical things. He's strong. He can give you strength. He can give you direction on what to eat. He can give you direction on what to gym. He knows everything. Trust me. He created you. He made you. Now, so too the Holy Spirit comes to our aid. Give it to me in NIV. Give it to us in NIV. NIV, hurry up. In the same way, the Spirit does what? Helps us. In our what? Weaknesses. Now, that weakness can range from spiritual weakness to mental weakness to physical weakness to financial weakness, to communication weakness, to relationship weakness, to all kinds of weaknesses. Do you understand? And like we said, the earlier we know that we are weak in ourselves, the better. The places where you are strong is just where sin did not touch. But in itself, that thing cannot stand long until the Holy Spirit undergirds every area of your life. And you allow him to assist you in every area, even in the seemingly strong places. Maybe it's in your class, it's you they come to for math. But in Yoruba, they won't come to you. And in French, they won't come to you. Because those areas, you are weak. That math part, sin just didn't touch it. So the earlier you continue to commit to the Holy Spirit to help you so you don't become proud, the better. Do you understand? So we commit the entire thing to him. We recognize where we are strong. Father, I commit it to you. Please have mercy. Don't let me get proud with this matter. Maybe in sports, you are good. You feel that it's you. You are the only one that knows it. No, it's not like that. So you commit, you thank God for it, and you tell him to continue to help you in it. It's just that sin did not touch that part. Are we together? So he says, in the same way, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit who is with us right now, helps us in our what? Weakness. Spiritual, mental, physical weakness, the weakness of the flesh. The Bible says that the flesh, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is what? Weak. So, majorly, our flesh, our mind, the satanic nature in the mind has made the mind weak, has made the physical body weak, weak to sin, weak to temptation. Now, it says the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we should what? What we ought to what? Pray for, but the Spirit himself, he's a person, he's God. Intercedes for us with what? Groans that words cannot what? Express. So primarily, amongst many other things, the Holy Spirit is here to help us. I just thought I should bring that point out. As we're asking God for help, recognize that the person that is, there's one person that is here to help you right now, every day. Every moment. He's here to help you to fear God. There's nothing God really wanted to do on you by yourself, on your own. Do you understand? He's ready to help you to fear him. He's ready to help you to pray daily in the spirit with all types of prayer, with groaning and travail, as you can see. He's here to help you to bind the devil. He's here to help you to confess the word. He's here to help you with your Bible reading and study. He's here to help you with fasting and prayer. Think of all those things, places where you are weak. and be willing to commit it to Him. Don't be ashamed to say, I think I should try and do this by myself. He's here to help you. In your academics, your study, He's here to help you. In retaining things, information, He's here to help you. In communication and having a wonderful and blossoming relationship with people, He's here to help you. He's literally here to help you concerning every matter, so that really, you will not be able to glory in yourself, but you'll be able to glory only in God. Last verse, last scripture I'll just use to see, to encourage you. Give me 2 Chronicles 14:11. I just want to see places where God really helped people. God helped people throughout the Bible. You know, but there are some kings, there are kings in the Bible that had issues, challenges. They seemed unsurmountable, you know, and it was said that God helped them. And that was Old Testament. Right now, we even have the Bible says that the Lord is my helper. What can man do to me? God is here to help you. I don't care what you are, the challenges of the time. God is here to help you. He is for you. But I say, if God be for me, who can be against me? And so the more you know that God is not just, He's not in heaven alone, He's right beside you. Do you understand? And you begin to acknowledge and fellowship in the Holy Spirit. What do you think about this? Of course, the way the Holy Spirit will talk to you is that you must know the Bible. All, whenever you hear prophets say that God told me, it's because the man has been reading the Bible, so it's easy for him to have access to the voice of God and know what God would say. It's never contradicted the word of God. Are we together? The Lord just said that the Spirit will not speak of Himself. He will say only what He hears. Do you understand? He wrote the word of God. And when you are praying in the Spirit, it is not you that is praying. So you won't cheat yourself or deceive yourself. The Holy Spirit is listening to what the Lord Jesus is saying and saying to the Father. So can Jesus ever say anything wrong or pray anything amiss? So that's why it's better to pray in the Spirit concerning everything. Pray in the Spirit more about your courses, about your projects, about, of course, your spiritual victory, dominion over sin, dominion over in financial victory, the issue of marriage. Pray in the Spirit. He's the one that Jesus is praying perfect will for you concerning all those things. Are we together? So that's why the Holy Spirit is the resident God on earth to help us, and we need to tap into that ministry ASAP. Okay, so the Bible says, then Asa called to the Lord his God and said, Lord, there is no one like you to help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, O Lord our God. You see, the mighty might be one habit or one the satanic nature or whatever thing that has been haunting you, has been pulling you down hitherto. It says, help us, O Lord our God, for we rely on you and in your name, the name of the Lord Jesus. We have come against this vast army. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let what? Man prevail against us. 18:31. And God helped them. Do you understand? Because of time, I'm just jumping to places where you will see the word help. 1831. Hurry up. 1831. 1831. God will help you. Your exams are coming. God will help you. In the place of waking up early, God can help you. He will give you wisdom. It might be to set an alarm clock for a start. He will help you. He will wake you up. Maybe you feel like weaving. He will wake you up. Do you understand? God will trigger things. Your academics, your studying, God will help you. Do you understand? In the place of prayer, primarily, God will help you. Do you understand? You need to cry out for help. And when the chariot commander saw Jehoshaphat, they thought this is the king of Israel. So they turned to attack him. But Jehoshaphat, what? Cried out. And what? The Lord helped him. God drew them away from him. God will draw enemies away from you. Yeah, but you need to cry out in the place of prayer and intercession. The Lord just did that. He cried, even though Jesus was the Son of God. If Jesus, who was a perfect man, cried out for help every morning. I don't know you or where you got the idea that you shouldn't cry out for help. And you say, that was Jesus now. God understands. Forget it, man. If the Lord Jesus had to cry out for help, you and me need to cry out for help double, even more. Yeah, right? So that's why we need to wake up every morning. If waking up every morning is a challenge, tell the Holy Spirit to help you. He will help you. You see, he's just looking for honest people so that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro. That's the Spirit of God. Looking for those that he can help who are honest, to stand strong on their behalf, who are honest, who have a perfect heart towards him. He's just looking for honest young people that he can raise up. Do you understand? Against this vast army of corruption that we are facing in the nation. He's looking for young people that he can help to help people. And at the end, they will know that it is God that helped us, so not ourselves. Yeah. Okay, final one. 26:7. 26:7. 2 Chronicles 26:7. The Holy Spirit is our helper and is here to help us. And God helped him against the what? Philistines. A type of the demonic. And against the Arabs. Now, I won't say much about that. Who lived in Gerbaal and against the Maonites. Then the next one, 18, I believe. Just to show that God helps. The Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is helps. Verse 15. God will help us. Think about different challenges in your mind, in your life. God will help you. Do you understand? So, it says, in Jerusalem, he made machines. Yeah, this is beautiful. So, we've talked about spiritual, we've talked about physical, the subdued kingdoms, the ruled kingdoms. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hebrews 11, the subdued kingdoms. You can rule in your department, rule on your campus. You know, God can position you. God will help you. Ah, Satan is a liar. We'll read that one. Yes. Let's read that. In Jerusalem, he made machines designed by skillful men for use on the towers and on the corner defenses to shoot arrows and hurl large stones. His fame spread far and wide. For he was what? Until he became. Is it power you're looking for? Is it look, cry out for God? God will direct. You see, so spiritually, the Holy Spirit is here to help us against our infirmities. Aren't you excited that your God is an invisible God? See, people are used to what they can see with their eyes, smell, touch. But now, your God is overshadowing you. He's everlasting. His everlasting arms are under you. He's right beside you. He can't be seen, but he's moving. As you're walking, he's walking with you. And he has angels all around you. The reason why we have not experienced it, they sound so nice, but we haven't experienced it, is because we have not tapped into it, and we have not said, where is the God of the Lord Jesus? Where is the God of the Word? These things that we see in the Bible, why haven't we been experiencing them? Why haven't you gotten so angry and desirous to experience them? It's because we need to start triggering and put into effect and put into action the thing that will cause us to enjoy them. God is just there waiting for you. Do you understand? God is there waiting for you. And of course, you must be born again for the Holy Spirit to be able to have access and then begin to decode and reveal to you and help you see his purpose and help you fulfill your destiny concerning every matter, spiritually, mentally. You can see this guy mentally. Physically, Daniel, Shadrach, and Abednego, politically, economically, socially, you know, financially, Joseph, God helps. And he's still helping because it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's bow our head as we pray. I want you to talk to God. You're going to talk to him. Look at that area in your life that you need help. God, I need help to be spiritual. Spiritual things, I need help. Cry out to him. Talk to God. I need help emotionally. I need help with my wills to determine and to stick to the things of God. I need help to love righteousness and hate sin. I need help to be more patient and kind. I need help to be more forbearing. I need help not to be envious or jealous. I need help to not be proud or haughty. I need help to not be stingy or greedy. I need help to not be unforgiving. I need help to love righteousness and hate sin. Because if I can fulfill the commandment of love, every other thing is sorted out. If you love righteousness, you know when to study. You know that you ought to study. You not be lazy. If you love righteousness, you hate sin. And you hate sin, all the other things, the fornication, adultery, will not be, if they will not have a stronghold on you. Tell God to help you to love him, to keep his word. Then you can talk about the other natural things that you know you have challenges in. But seek first the kingdom. Tell God, help me to seek the kingdom. Help me to be a youth of purpose and destiny. Help me to be a youth that loves righteousness and hates sin. A youth that is patient, kind, forbearing. A youth of purpose and destiny. That's what you created me for. I'm not just here to exist. I'm not just here like the world without purpose, without direction. If they go here, means I move here. No, I want to know what you have said about me in the book. You say you are sending the Holy Spirit to remind me of what you told me. What have you told me in your word? What have you written of me in your word? Remind me, speak to me, talk to me, teach me, help me, strengthen me, guide me, enable me. Give us a few more seconds. The greatest thing that God wants us all to do is to perfect His love as Christians. Wear that nature in our hearts when we get born again is helped to gain ascendancy and dominate our minds, our wills, and emotions. And the same thing is effected in our physical body, in our behavior, in our habits, in our learning, in our speech, in our communication, in our lifestyle. That's the major help we need right now, to get God's nature from the spirit into the soul and into the body. The Holy Spirit is here to help us. You are here, you're not born again. No assumptions whatsoever. The Bible says that you must be born again. You must be born again for us to start the journey. You're here, you're not born again. Heads bowed, eyes closed, we would like to pray with you. I'd like you, wherever you are, to just raise your hand. You're here, you're not born again. Or you were once born again, but you backslid. And God is a God of a second chance, like we saw in the ark. When they missed it, He allowed them to start again. This time He helped them. This time God wants to help you. You're not going to go back again. You're here, you're not born again. Eyes closed, heads bowed. We would like to pray with you. And if you're here, you can just stand up wherever you are and just quickly go to the back. They will pray with you. Or you're here, you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. The Holy Spirit is the helper. A major way He helps is in the place of prayer. Praying in the Spirit. We would like to pray with you. Stand up and just pray together so we can round off. Let's stand up on our feet, one hand up, one hand on our chest, crying out to God for help. And we'll say together, we say, Father, we confess our sins. In Jesus' name, we have life. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word that we have heard today, that you are here to help us. A great helper, a mighty helper, that is for us, not against us, ready to help us spiritually, mentally, physically, socially, financially, in every aspect of our lives, to see your kingdom come and your will being done in every area of our lives. We open up and surrender ourselves to you, our spirits, our souls, our bodies, our circumstances, that you, O Father, you will help us by your spirit. We exchange our weaknesses for your strength, our foolishness for your wisdom, our powerlessness for your might, our dullness for your insight, for your light, for your understanding, for your life in abundance, for your graces, for your goodness, your love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, and patience, to transform us from within and make us more like Jesus, who was helped mightily every day of his life, so that according to your word we also will do the works that Jesus did and greater, because he was anointed and helped by the Holy Spirit. We look to you for fresh mercy, grace, and help to perfect your love, your nature, your character in our lives, by your blood, by your word, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, who is right beside us, for us, always ready to guide us. We repent of grieving the Holy Spirit, and we pray that you will help us to fellowship and be in intimacy with the Holy Spirit more. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's